It's time for the Daily Power Play.
And the score! A power play goal for the Predators.
Covering the Predators and the NHL.
With a shot that stopped by Searles.
Now on Chase and Michelle.
Welcome into Chase and Michelle. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe. Now we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We welcome in Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, who joins us every Thursday at 9:45. Greg, how are we doing this morning?
Doing well. How are you? I'm over in beautiful Bristol, Connecticut for our show, The Drop, today.
Okay.
So always cool to be on campus. You never know who you'll run into. Mascots, Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith dressed as a mascot. Who's to say?
There you go. You never know what's going to happen. I love it. Well, Greg, getting right into it, Matthias Ekholm was one of the big assets that the Predators traded off to Edmonton before the trade deadline. What can you just say about, you know, his addition to this team? He's been very productive in his early time. And, you know, how do you think that this could look as they round out the regular season and into the postseason? Their offense is already pretty lethal. But just Matthias Ekholm and the addition to the team he's added.
Well, he was exactly what they needed. I mean, they needed a veteran presence on their blue line that could, contribute offensively while also kind of being the glue defensively. And you know, the teams that had been sniffing around Ekholm now for the last couple of seasons all saw him the same way, which is that, you know, this is a guy who you could throw with a young defenseman, say, like Evan Bouchard in Edmonton, and be confident that he's going to, you know, help that player excel while also excelling himself. And so, you know, in Edmonton's case, they had Duncan Keith last year trying to kind of fill that role. Obviously, I think Ekholm is a much better version of that. And having him beyond this season, I think, is a really good thing for the Oilers. He's a real key and a real linchpin for a team that, you know, like you said, gets a lot of renown for its offense, mm-hmm. But is actually not all that terrible defensively. It's just that sometimes their goaltending makes them look a little bit more porous than they are.
Coming up here in Nashville, the Seattle Kraken are coming to town. They got a game tonight. They got a doubleheader, and then on Saturday as well. You know, Elli Tolvanen, one of the young stars for the Predators. Since he moved over there, the Preds and the Kraken have had the same amount of points. How much do you think that this could benefit either team if they sweep the series as far as playoff standings and trying to secure a spot or at least get closer to a spot in the playoffs, Greg?
Yeah, it is a little bit of playoff juice coming up in these next two games. I mean, you know, obviously the Predators' hopes are faint right now. I think it's like an 8% chance of making the playoffs or some such. But that could kind of change, obviously, if you are chasing a team like the Kraken and are able to kind of grab a bunch of points off of them. Seattle's in a real interesting spot in the sense that, you know, they're on solid footing for the playoffs. They're not in quite yet. Mm-hmm. The goaltending that they've been reliant on to bend but not break during most of the season has been doing more breaking than bending lately. The one thing to watch out for Seattle is that while their special teams are nothing to write home about, they are actually the highest scoring 5-on-5 team in the league this year, even better than Boston.
Hmm.
So when you get them 5-on-5, they could really roll you. So maybe take a lot of penalties. You know, keep them on their power play. They're really missing Andre Burakovsky right now, their talented winger on the power play. He's been out with an injury. So, you know, 5-on-5, the Kraken are elite. Get them on special teams, not so much.
We got Greg Wyshynski on from ESPN with us. Greg, the Predators had a tough loss in Madison Square Garden, but then a big bounce back game against the Sabres. Specifically, Luke Evangelista, 4 points in the game. What can you just say about his development and performance with this team so far?
Well, it's some of that offense came from kind of born from defense, and I think the two-way game right now is something that rightfully is getting a lot of attention, and it's exciting. I mean, it's an infusion of energy that he's brought to the team, and part of the reason that hopefully, you know, things are pointed in the right direction. They caught the Sabres at the right time, and the Sabres are kind of falling apart right now. I think once the playoffs started to look kind of bleak, then all of a sudden things started to really fall apart. I think they've been outscored something to the tune of like 38-20 in their last like 10 games, or 48 rather, to 20 something in their last 10 games. And so good on the Predators for dunking on a team that that was dunkable at that point.
We're talking to Greg Wyshynski, senior NHL writer at ESPN. Greg, I felt like a lot of people, especially here locally, had John Hines kind of on the outs after this season, but I'm kind of picking up a different vibe since the trade deadline and how well this team has been playing, especially with some of the young talent that they have brought up. Can you kind of give me a little insight of maybe nationally of where people are about John Hines, and do you think that he will be the Nashville Predators coach going into next season?
Well, you know, Hines is a divisive coach, to be honest with you. I mean, I think there's some people that respect what he brings to team. I think there's also some people that don't quite get what systematically he does to impact a team. You know, it's one of those situations, at least last season, where the success of the Predators was so indebted to how well UC Soros played that it's sometimes hard to really either capture how much a coach contributes or in some cases maybe give him proper credit. But I mean, you know, his stop in Jersey, there were certain people there that thought those teams should be better than they were. And in Hines's case in Nashville, there's fans and there's critics. And, you know, as far as the future, I mean, the real question is, you know, what the new boss thinks. It's an interesting wrinkle when a someone that has been one of the greatest NHL coaches of all time all of a sudden is the guy making the personnel decisions. So, you know, it's not an executive coming in. It's a guy that knows how to do the job. So does Barry Trotz want to bring in his own guy? How does he feel about Hines? Those are the kind of questions that I think will come into focus in the next few months. But it certainly is kind of an interesting wrinkle when you're trying to state your case to keep your job in a new regime and your new boss is, you know, Barry Trotz.
Absolutely. Now, Greg, I am a big futures bettor, okay? And after watching the New York Rangers and what they did to the Pittsburgh Penguins and then the following night against the Nashville Predators, I'm really starting to kind of lean towards putting a little bit of cash on them to be a potential, Stanley Cup winner in the future. I really like the fact that they went out and got Tarasenko from St. Louis and that they also went out and got Patrick Kane from the Chicago Blackhawks. And along with Igor Shesterkin, who won the Vezina Trophy last year, do you see the New York Rangers as like a potentially good futures bet on winning the Stanley Cup? Because that's kind of like my hot take that I have going right now.
It's not a bad take. I mean, they obviously, you know, made the conference final last year, and that was really good experience for some of their younger players in that roster. And they're loaded. They're super talented. The East is a meat grinder. I a lot of people have asked me about the Bruins and their position as a Stanley Cup favorite. And I mean, I'd bet the field in the East over the Bruins, honestly, because of just how many good teams there are. I mean, you think about Boston's path, they'd have to play the winner of the Leafs Lightning series. Then they have to play whoever comes out of the Metro, which could be the Rangers or it could be Carolina or it could be the Devils. I mean, it's so loaded. In the Rangers case, the one thing that gives me a little bit of hesitation is when they don't get to play at the pace that they like. And you mentioned, you know, Kane and Tarasenko, Panarin, Zibanejad. These are guys that really like to have a lot of space, a lot of speed, a lot of room to create. And you don't always find that in the postseason. In fact, they played a game against the Carolina Hurricanes on Tuesday that they lost in the third period. And that was a game where Carolina, for about the last 40 minutes, really kind of controlled the pace and played the game tightly in the way that they like to play, and the Rangers struggled at that. So my only hesitation on the Rangers, because they are loaded and they do have a goalie that can win a series on his own, is when the ice gets taken away from them a little bit against teams like Carolina or Boston or Tampa, what is their reaction? Can they win those games if those offensive players don't necessarily get to play with the kind of flourish that they usually do?
Really quick, Greg, before we let you go, how incredible is it just to watch Connor McDavid scored his 60th goal last night? I mean, we are just watching an historical player right now. I can't even appreciate it.
Yeah, it's funny. We're talking about that on our show, The Drop Day. Like, statistically, we're seeing probably the best season from an individual player since maybe the heyday of Mario Lemieux back in, like, the 1990s. But from, like, a fun impact, watch him every night on ESPN Plus kind of standpoint, probably Ovechkin was the last guy that really gave us this sort of thrill of, you just have to watch this guy do his thing every night or else you're missing out on history. And it's amazing for the sport to have somebody playing at this level. And I kneel down and I pray every night that this man gets goaltending in the playoffs, because it would certainly be nice to see Connor play for a championship at some point in Edmonton.
And I know Preds fans would be rooting for Matthias Ekholm. He was always a local favorite. But yes, I can agree. Connor McDavid scored his 60th goal last night. Pretty incredible. Greg Wyshynski, thanks so much for joining us today. Now go find some mascots on ESPN's campus right now.
Will do. Awesome to talk to you.
That was Greg Wyshynski. Joins us every Thursday at 9:45. Coming up, we're going to switch to the Tennessee Titans really quick. Take a look at NFL free agency. You're listening to Chase and Michelle on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.